Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Man, I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling good today, Tucker.
I've already got my tan going. We have had one nice day. It's already going.
Yeah, it's March.
But look, this golden glow is coming out. I almost look the same shade as my ring.
Wow. Yeah, golden boy. You're a golden boy.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got the golden glow already going.
Yeah.
You look like you need a little sun yourself.
Oh, I always need sun, dude. I'm as white as they come. You know, I am the product of a Scottish and an Irish lineage. Where does your tan ability come from?
That's a great.
That doesn't make any sense because you can't shut the fuck up about how you're Irish. You're like, oh, I come from an Irish.
Well, it's 75%. I just got my results back.
Oh, yeah. You coming
in? I'm 75% Irish and I'm predisposed to being overweight.
Well, we know that to be true.
I know.
How'd they figure that out?
I think it's because I'm Irish.
I'm Irish.
You're black Irish.
Black Irish?
Yeah, you're Irish with black hair.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You never heard that?
No, I haven't heard that before, and I thought it.
I was saying something like racist or something.
No, yeah, that's what I was worried about. Is what I was like.
There was guys in the Marine Corps. They told me that. Oh yeah, I'm black Irish, and they had black hair, but they were Irish.
So what did you? What? How did you react when you first heard that? You're like,
I was like, dude, you're not black at all.
Hey, let's take it easy. To a new episode of Take It Easy, your favorite.
Well, I was curious because I don't know if the thumbnail that you guys just clicked on has new on it. Does it? Is this a new thing? Because the last thumbnail said new, and I was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
That happened right under my nose right here. It just flew right by.
Well, that's how we're doing. We're going to keep the numbers are in the thumbnails for the YouTube. Audio listeners love you to death, but we're talking about video watchers.
Well,
right
people
now.
On Reddit are like, thumbnails, you have to keep the numbers on the thumbnails.
They are. It's just that when there's a new episode,
we put the new thing. I always like the number because
but when there's a new episode, that's the meta right now that you put the new so people know it's new.
Wait, are other people doing that?
Yeah, everybody's doing it.
Okay.
Everybody's doing it. It's the hip thing to do right now.
Okay.
Everybody's doing it. So don't come into our comments and act like this is some newfangled thing that look only we're doing and we're weird for it. You're weird. You're the weird guy.
Or girl.
Or thank you.
I think we got a lot of girls.
Let's be
in
inclusive.
The
you know, you're right. You're right. Let's be inclusive. You're weird. She weird. He weird. They weird. But welcome, everybody, to Take It Easy, the number one podcast on Spotify and in the world, actually. Bigger than Joe Rogan podcast, biggest podcast in town.
The biggest podcast where I live.
You think? Probably. Yeah.
I don't think anyone else in this area is pumping out anything close to what we've got.
Yeah, no. They ain't putting out what we're giving to the people here, you know? And I was looking at we've got some viewers in, I can tell you, I got some data from, this is at least on the audio side, but there is location data on where people who are our listeners are from. And so if I scroll down a little bit here and see what we have for the statistics. Yes. Okay. So number one is United States. That's obvious.
Obviously, we've always been number one.
Number two, Canada, our closest ally. Nothing's ever gone wrong with Canada.
Is Canada our closest ally?
oh, they're our closest ally, and we always have good relations with them, and that's never changed. And it never will. And number three is United Kingdom. We've had our issues. We've had our issues, but, you know, we like them now. They got good fish and chips, you know? They got good fish
I think New England fish and chips are better than British, but that's a conversation for another time, I think.
Have you been to the UK?
I've been to Bermuda.
That's not the...
Owned by
that's
England.
Okay, this isn't about
part of the
here.
United
about,
Kingdom.
Okay, but that's let's be honest here. You're going to a pub in Bermuda, dude.
Have really? You been to Bermuda? Let's ask
I
that
have.
First.
I've been to Bermuda. Yeah.
Oh,
and honestly,
oh, did you not get the fish and chips there?
No, I didn't. But Bermuda is one of those places where you when, especially going because you did a cruise, right?
We cruised. And then we hung out.
I'll tell you what about being on a cruise. Whenever I go on, the only time I went on a cruise, which was when I was like 13, there's a guilt that I feel being on a cruise.
Keep going. I'll hear you out.
There's like an uncomfort thing because it's such a fuck. It's like the most egregious luxury thing you can do. Hey, yeah. Let's all get on a big fucking boat that runs, that kills an elephant every single time it goes a knot. And let's just go to a nice location area and let's go ride some jet skis and then get drunk on the boat while everyone around us works. Like, that's crazy. They have fucking theater shows on these things. It's like...
It's like a floating city
block.
Like, it
makes sense the Titanic sank in the way it did. Like, those people kind of deserve that shit. You know what I mean?
No. They didn't. The highest of luxury on the Titanic is worse than the worst cruise available in the world right now.
Are you kidding me, dude?
No, I am dead serious.
No, because they were doing stuff that you're not allowed to eat now. They were eating stuff you can't eat now.
Like what?
Oh, no, dude. Like, anything that was on... the islands that Darwin was on, they were eating those as part of their appetizer on that ship. You don't understand what kind of shit they were doing back in the day. They were eating puffins for fun. They were.
Okay, but how much plastic waste is coming off one cruise ship?
They were having Tasmanian devil foie gras, dude. Like, they were...
Okay, their taste was a little extravagant, I'll give you that. But
yeah,
they were living in squalor. There's no air conditioning. There's no heat.
They were smoking child labor cigars on the Titanic, and you know it. You know they were smoking child labor cigars.
I mean, they probably had children shoveling coal into the boilers down there.
Oh, without a doubt, dude. In fact, they were probably preferred workers because they were so small. They could fit through the spaces. They could
eat less
food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eat less food. That's a great reason, too. Let's bring it back.
Well, it still exists. You just don't see it. They hide
it
from us.
Let's start looking at it more. Let's start looking at it more.
Not do anything.
Welcome everybody to Take It Easy, this child labor episode of the podcast. So what were you going to say about
what?
Because I was feeling bad when I was on the cruise ship. I wasn't feeling good.
Oh, yeah. No, it is one of the modern era's most egregiously extravagant...
Yeah, I feel like a piece of shit when I'm on that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because half of the, you know, you go on a cruise ship and it's like the main manner of eating is a buffet.
Oh, of...
It's like every, like, breakfast, buffet, dinner, buffet. It's like, everyone come get your crab legs. And then you got people crowding around that and they're fighting each other, eating each other's legs.
It's usually cruises are all-inclusive food for at least the buffet. So it's like, eat as much as you can. Come and get it. But then there's also fancy restaurants everywhere.
Yeah, and cruise ships are, you know, like the rooms are prohibitively expensive as well. So it's like people who are on that, they're in greed mode. They've entered greed mode. They're like, well, if there's a buffet, I'm going to eat until I die.
And like, most cruises, I feel like, are going down to like impoverished island nations
that only survive on the cruise ship coming to town.
Yeah.
And they're like
that's their sole income.
Here comes all of the rich fucking Americans that are hungry for excursions. Also, the only time I ever hear the word excursion as frequently as more than once a decade is when it's in a cruise and stuff. Oh, you can go on an excursion. You mean go water skiing? Like,
I feel like excursion was like a term for when people like Darwin or like British explorers in the Amazon would like leave the main ship and row their way up the Amazon River to like make contact. But now it's like, yeah, jet ski tour down to the gazebo where you can get free drinks at 5 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's boozy paddle boarding.
Yeah, like just because you're leaving the boat doesn't mean it's still an excursion.
Yeah, yeah.
An
you're
excursion
not,
implies
like, you're
danger.
Not going to a cruise to Skull Island. Like you're showing up in Bermuda where, yeah. Oh man. And what's fun, did they on your cruise, did they tell you?
Don't go to the mopeds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't go on the mopeds. Like, they hammered that in. It's like rule fucking number one. Do not get on a moped.
You know, the more I talk about this, the more it seems like it'd be a funny idea if we
this
did a Take It Easy
funny.
Cruise episode.
Well, Emma's been saying for the last 2 years, and I don't know if you know this, actually,
that she wants to go on a cruise with the three of us.
She keeps saying, Tucker, you should convince Ted to take us on a cruise.
Oh, I used to pay for it.
Yeah, that's the
How
ticket.
About we have, riddle me this. How about we just make sure that take, how about this? I'm going to talk to the audience. Guys, make it so that Take It Easy does really fucking well so we can do the cruise episode
of
Take It Easy.
That's why your financial manager, Mr. Keene, set us up on that Premier Business credit card so we can get the points.
So we're going to go in debt to go on the Take It Easy cruise?
Oh, Ted, you're like a credit card infant. The points.
I know.
It's
you're
all
a point.
About
you're a
the
point.
Points.
You know what you are? You're a point hog.
No.
You're a hog for the points.
If you go into the points lore, there are people that blow me out of the water. I'm on the tip of the iceberg.
I don't want to hear
you're
about
in a
people
rowboat
blowing
looking
you,
at
dude.
The tip of the iceberg.
I don't want to hear about all these points people that are blowing you left and right. And I don't think Emma's going to like that either.
Yeah, you don't like it until you're on a free cruise.
Yeah.
Because that
okay, so is that something that so is there a points lore within the Take It Easy credit card where we can get a Take It Easy cruise out of this?
Yes, this is how points work. You just
how many points do we need for this?
Oh, a lot, but we could get it.
I have one.
We just gotta do something.
I have one credit card. I have one credit card through my bank, and it gives me some cash back. And I will take out the cash back every few months or whatever. And I'm just my whole thing is just use the credit card as much as I can. To make the credit score go up, but I only have one credit card. I need to get, honestly, there's so many things you can do. I need to get one for flights.
When we went,
honestly.
When we did that Key West trip and we did the Everglades, solely on points.
Really? I think you told me this. Yeah,
we didn't
that's
pay
cool.
for that. Because I have a nice credit card. It costs like $100 a year, but I always pay it off. So I never am never actually like getting the interest. Yeah. And every time you pay, you get points. And then you book your hotels and your flights through the banking app.
Mm.
And it just uses your points. You can always convert your points to cash, too, if you want the cash back. But the points are just really convenient.
Are they worth more when used for something like a hotel or something?
Yeah, like typically...
Because like if you got the cash back and then you tried to use it on the hotel, that probably would be...
The worst.
Like the points...
More inefficient.
Like the, yeah. Yeah. As the point goblins would say, it would be point inefficient.
It would be point inefficient.
It would be PI. It'd be a bit PI of you.
I got one little thing about points that I hate though. Microsoft points. Remember those? Xbox 360.
Oh yeah,
early
like micro.
Days.
You mean yeah, the beginning of microtransactions.
I'm gonna tell you the first
the original
time I
V-Bucks?
Encountered Microsoft's scum, and it was they were selling point cards that were 1600 points. For example, maybe it was 1800 points. I don't know. And the expansion packs for Halo 3 and Modern Warfare 2 and those games where you were like, oh, I need the new map pack, were like 1,400 points. So you always, you couldn't buy like a precise amount of points there for a while. You had to buy the card and then you would always have leftover points. You couldn't just buy.
I know
buy.
What you're talking about, yeah.
And as a kid, that's...
Well, they still do that now when we would do Rocket League. You know I'm...
Ted's a skin goblin. If I'm a points goblin, you are a game skin goblin. You live like, to microtransact.
Well, I'm not like opening
PUBG
crates all the time, but in PUBG, I was really into the skins.
Well, crates are just straight up gambling.
Yeah, that's just straight up gambling. I'm not a gambler. You can say a lot about me, Tucker, but I'm not a gambler.
You're not,
which
a
is
gambler.
Good because yeah.
I've actually been doing a little gambling lately.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Really? That's the Irish in you. That's the 75% Irish.
I'm back in Massachusetts, and so I've been walking to the package store a lot.
It's been cold out. The only thing to do is the gamble.
I've been walking to the package store, and they sell lottery tickets there. It's like scratch tickets.
Oh,
so
you're doing scratch tickets.
If I got an extra dollar in my wallet, I'm like, oh, what the hell? I'll get a scratcher.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's probably one of the more blue collar things about you, right there. Is because that's a very blue collar thing to do. When a blue collar guy goes into the gas station to fill up the truck on gas and pick up their
Dr. Pepper and a scratcher.
Snickers and a Dr. Pepper and some dots. And
yeah, the dots are in.
Yeah, and they also put $20 or something towards some scratch tickets just in case it'll change their life or something.
Is every blue collar guy I worked with had like a different way they did it. Like some guy be like, give me two $20 tickets. Some guy be like, get me five $1 tickets, give me two $5 tickets, a $10 ticket, and a $20 ticket. Like they had like a spread that they wanted.
Yeah.
And some of them aren't just like match the numbers. They got like crossword puzzles now that make you like you gotta sit there for like 20 minutes and do a fucking crossword. It's like you're really getting your money's worth out of the time you're putting into this.
Do they have you heard of any guys win something big from those?
My dad won $5,000 when I was like 13 or 14.
See, that's usually what I feel like I hear. I hear about like a $5,000 or $10,000 win or something. That's the most like scratch tickets really do. Like I think the most a scratch ticket do is like $30,000.
Well, they say that there's and they're not lying. Like theoretically it's out there. But
this stuff still, you know, it hits occasionally, but
what I found out is you can't buy a scratch ticket without cash. Like you can't buy it on a debit card or a credit card.
I feel like, especially with a credit card, I feel like that's just the credit card companies probably just don't support it. Like they're
they'd be defaulting on those credit cards.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that, my, like that's our, like that's
the take the it easy credit card's card got like a $20,000 limit. You just be like, yeah, give me 20,000, give me the whole fucking lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Like some dude. I'm sure that they, yeah. I mean, that's why when you go to a fucking, that's why you got to really go out of your way. You got to go to some back corner alley of Las Vegas in order to get a fucking a loan for gambling or something like that. You know,
you're getting a loan for gambling, you're way too far gone.
Oh my God. You're dead. You're dead, dude.
You're dead.
You're dead. Like, man, no, this gambling is such a scary thing. I mean, that's why you guys will never. We might as well say this because this is a
consistent thing.
We will never promote gambling.
But do yourself a favor and get a scratcher next time you're at the
gas station. We're working on our ad situation for the podcast, and that's something that came in front of us where it was like
Kevin Hart showed up and he was like, you're going to support DraftKings. And we were like, fuck no, Kevin. Fuck no.
Kevin's like, you're going to do this.
That was a crazy Super Bowl, right? Don't you wish you won $500?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No prize picks. No fucking
nothing. Nothing.
No DraftKings. No. Tucker and I both feel very strongly about gambling in the sense that it ruins people's lives, and there's no way that is any way to properly take it easy. So we don't believe in it. We'll never promote gambling ever.
If you're gonna throw away your money, throw it into the Patreon.
Yeah.
That's the official take it easy stance.
Yeah, there you go. The Patreon, only $5 for every bonus episode, and $15 if you want to get all the bonus shows that we have. So you should check it out at patreon.com/take it easy.
Love is Blind is getting crazy. It's getting crazy.
But
you got a story, and I want to hear it, though.
Well, I don't have a story yet. I'm finishing what I was talking about here because surprisingly, this next one's unsurprising. So about 5% of our audience, at least on audio right now, from Australia. Oi, mate. How you going, mate?
When did Australia become independent?
Couple of Australians listening to... I don't know.
That stopped you dead in your tracks. You like froze? Look both ways?
Yeah, no, I was on a roll with my Australian accent, and then you were like...
Subconsciously, I just can't stand that accent, so... Well, actually, it's conscious. It's conscious. I can't stand an Australian accent.
Really?
Well, you're doing an American's take, a rendition of
it. Okay. I'll tell you this.
Okay.
Several times when I really lock in with the Australian accent, I try to make it as accurate as possible. And this is always when I'm, because I'm the most annoying person that's ever walked the face of the planet. I do it whenever I meet an Australian. They always tell me that it's pretty good. Like, they're always impressed. And I can tell that they're not just doing it to make my ego thing, because I'm not like, hey, how's this accent? I'll do it as part of a bit. And they'll be like, whoa. That's actually pretty good.
Oh, wait. That did like, actually sound pretty good. When you're not, I think when you're not selling it.
I'll kill you with a gun.
When you're not selling it like it's a theatrical thing and you just slip it in, that's when it's at its peak.
Okay. All right. So Australia.
But you've got a story. Oh, you're still going to Australia.
I do, but we're having a good time. Let the drinks flow. For weeks you've been like,
I've got a story for the podcast.
I know, but I'm trying to get to something here.
All right,
because the fifth biggest audience, and I think that this is because of, you know, your genealogy. Actually, I'm not sure if this is accurate. I think it is. Sweden.
No.
Oh.
Miss. No, my other genealogy is like Nordic, so like Norway. I guess. Wait.
Where the fuck do you think Sweden is, you dumbass? Are you kidding me?
Oh, fuck, dude, you're right.
Nordic? Sweden. It's the countries are right next to each other.
That was embarrassing.
Had Vikings.
Cut that out, Emma. Cut that out.
Keep it in. Keep it in.
I'm supposed to be the maps guy.
No, man. You were no, like. And the thing is, you were disgusted with me.
Yeah, no, I...
you were disgusted with me when I said it to you. I was like, Sweden. You were like, nah. Or you're like, nah. No, nah, you fucked up, man. Yeah. No, I'm Nordic. Nice try. To give you a second chance here, what's the definition of Nordic?
From one of those northern countries.
Who could be defined as Nordic? A person from a Nordic country or a Nordic person can be defined as someone who is a citizen of or has ties to one of the countries in the Nordic region, which includes Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden.
Yeah, no, I'll absolutely take the fall, the blame, and the shame for that one.
Yeah.
No, I feel like an idiot, and I'm live on camera.
Maybe next week we can talk about it on the Miranda Show. Okay, so...
You're still stewing over that one too, huh?
I am. That was awesome. Yeah, but we've got a lot of people in different areas too. We've got people in the Philippines. There's 12 downloads in Egypt. We've got five in Algeria, 7 in Kenya.
Hey. I wonder if two of those.
Right, that might just be the people from Mohi that are like.
That's gotta be it. We have to recheck that like a month from now and see how it still goes.
Yeah, if the Kenya audience increases at all in the years going on, but yeah, no. So that we got people all over the world. It's like we're missing some. Like we don't have anyone in China, and I don't know why that is.
We're probably blocked there, dude.
But I have. I have a story. I have some stories. That's what the episode today is, but we just had such a good fucking vibe there that things were flowing there.
I've got a little story for you that you're going to like.
Okay. So can I start?
You can open with
mine first. I think that, so I've got, okay. I'm going to give you three options on what I'll start with, because I got three different stories.
Okay.
And they're both, similarly ridiculous experiences, but do you want the chicken pot pie saga, the cigar sales lady, or the parking situation?
I definitely want the chicken pot pie saga.
Okay, so I'm at dinner a couple weeks ago.
Where?
And in Newport Beach. In Newport Beach, I'm getting dinner at this restaurant with some friends. Yeah, in California, and we're looking at the menu here. This is a nice restaurant, and I'm looking at this menu and there's a lot of options here. There's some like steaks or whatever. But what I do see is that their special for that Friday was the chicken pot pie. And I was like, man, it's been a while since I've seen a chicken pot pie. The most chicken pot pie I've had is the one from Costco. So
Sister order right there. Emma would order that.
Yeah. That's an Emily order right there for sure.
So you get
it. But, yeah, But so the guy, the waiter comes over, and I turn to him, and I'm, you know, it's the special. I got to ask him about it because they usually know about the special. They usually
they're
give
usually
you a well
versed.
Whole spiel.
They're usually a little too well versed in the special. I'm like, oh, okay, absolutely. Buddy, okay, I'm getting the fucking burger.
So I turn to this guy, and I'm saying, I say to him, I'm like, tell me about the chicken pot pie. And then his reaction was so strange because he goes, well, I mean, it's just what you probably expect from like a chicken pot pie.
Wow. So he wasn't selling it.
And I was like, huh? And I was like, he gave me like a non-answer. And I was like, okay. He was like, it's just like a regular chicken pot pie. I'm like, okay. Like, wow. I gave him a reaction that, and then he like realized, he was like, oh shit, I should probably be selling this. He was like, oh, well, it's actually really good. It's actually
pasteurized chicken.
Flaky,
with
beautiful crust. It's kind of like a croissant. It's really good. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I was a little bit worried about the size of the chicken pot pie too. So I was like, do you know how big it is? And he says, it's about big enough to eat.
So like, you got like the worst salesman you've ever had for a special.
I'm like, what? What is that supposed? I'm asking for diameter, my guy. I'm not asking for
is this one person
or
is this a table meal?
When I asked about the size of chicken pot pie, I'm not asking whether or not I will have acted in having a meal. Like, yeah, of course I'm going to have had a meal big enough to eat. Most things are.
That's good, dude, because usually those guys are fucking car salesmen with the specials.
Oh, he just didn't seem like he gave.
He
must have had a long shift or something. He wasn't feeling it. But whatever the case, I was like, okay, I'll order the chicken pot pie. He's like, well, I actually got a chicken. We got any in stock, actually, because they only make a certain amount. I'm like, okay, whatever. They did. But the chicken pot pie arrives. And there were so many things that this guy could have said about the chicken pot pie in the way that it looked.
Okay.
It was like in a pot, like a cast iron pot from like the 1940s.
Real
cast
iron?
And the crust of it, it was just like an old-looking pot.
Yeah.
And the crust was billowing out of the sides of it like it was
you're
a mushroom
selling me
cloud.
On this thing right now this
well
sounds
but
great.
It was crazy it was good but it was visually shocking
it was worthy of being described.
It was the most avant-garde chicken pot pie I've ever seen in my life, and everyone else, they all ordered just like a fillet, a little steak, and I realized very soon into it that like I don't know how to like cleanly eat a chicken pot pie when the crust is coming over the side. So I'm trying to cut into this. It's like the crust is like exploding off the sides. I'm trying to cut into it. And like the thing is so small. The fucking chicken pot pie goo broth is like billowing over onto my plate. I'm like looking at my shit here. I'm like embarrassed. I'm like, don't want people to look at me as I'm eating this chicken pot pie. And I actually took, it was so ridiculous that I was like, I took some photos of it that I'm sending in the chat right now.
Oh,
and
that looks good, dude. That's like a real croissant on top.
It was fantastic, but look at if you see this, I took a picture of the side where it's like, you can see the billowing over it, but like, you ask for a chicken pot pie, that shows up and you're like, wait, what? And then you look at the side where I've been eating, and it is chaos. It is carnage there. You see this little napkin, and there's fucking the
croissant
broth is
flakes.
Spilled onto it. It was like a battle the whole night trying to eat this chicken pot pie, and I'm like, I don't want anyone to look at me. Like, I feel like a hog eating this thing.
Dude, Emma's going to be drooling putting that on the edit.
But the fucking, it finishes. And I finish it or whatever. The guy comes by at the end of the dinner, comes by to get it. And he's like, y'all done with that? Because I'm the last one to have my food taken away. Because, of course, this takes me like an hour to fucking eat, like without it setting a bomb off. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, and then I'm like, it was kind of a battle. And then he laughs. And I'm like, I see that as my opportunity. I'm like, you know, I kind of wish you told me about how ridiculous this chicken pot pie would be. And then his response is, yeah, well, no, I just like hate to sell that thing. It's like the dumbest thing that we have. And then he walks away.
Wait, he said it was the dumbest thing we have. This looks
really
good.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, well, I just hate to sell this thing. It's like, I don't like it. It's like stupid or whatever. Like, he after at the beginning totally sell. He was like, oh, like once he was like, oh, it's got this beautiful crust, this flaky thing. Later on, he's like, yeah, no, I hate to sell that thing. It's like, I don't know.
And walks away. Were we at like a steakhouse? Like was the vibe like, not chicken pot pie? And this guy takes a lot of pride in the vibe.
It was a lot of steak. It was like steaks and like cocktails, but it was their special. Like what am I? It was a great chicken pot pie. It was better than one at Costco.
He must have he must be embarrassed by like.
Well, it was just funny because every time I interacted with this guy and he gave me like some weird bratty answer, which like I'm nice. I feel like I'm nice to service people at restaurants. I don't think I was giving him an attitude or something like that. And I respect the work.
You're nice
done.
To service people.
Yeah. And,
you are.
And so every time he left after an interaction with him, I like turned to my friends and I'm like, they're all like, what the fuck was that? Like that was weird. And so
he was not taking it easy.
Yeah. So that was the my chicken pot pie saga. I feel like I got to tell you about this parking situation, though.
Is this an update on your parking at your apartment?
No, it's not. It is a ridiculous thing that happened that ends in like almost a Curb Your Enthusiasm way.
Let's hear it.
Because I'm not usually, you know me, I'm not usually someone to get mad at people or get frustrated with people or like start a huge big, maybe with you because I'm comfortable with you.
You are blissfully ignorant.
Okay. Well, I'm not someone to snap very often. And in this situation, I didn't really snap, but I did get frustrated in this situation. So the part I've probably said on the past podcast that the parking situation at my apartment is a little bit dubious. There is not enough room for the amount of cars that the management thinks that they can fit in there. And so there's like in an area that there could reasonably be four cars, they've tried to fit seven. And so there is not a lot of wiggle room when it comes to someone who isn't supposed to be there parking there. And so I had a responsibility that day. I needed to go off and pick someone up. Cause I told him I would pick him up and I was like, I made a promise to someone. I was like, I'm going to do this thing. And so I had to walk out the door. And I was on time at the time too, which is rare for me. I was on time. So I'm walking out the door and I immediately realize that there is a car parked in the most selfish way in not a parking spot. Imagine like a square.
Wait,
and then
so
a
this
small
is at your place.
It is. You got to let me. Yeah. Yeah, but this isn't about my parking spot.
Okay, but it's about your parking lot.
It is.
Okay. Okay, that's what I thought.
This got payoff.
All right.
Bear with me here. Tucker, you know my apartment thing. It's got this little
They are
lane.
Overselling those spots.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. It's bad. There's like a little lane and then
you have a smart
There's
car
like
lot.
The little parking area. It's really a compact car lot. My truck's really, you know.
You're pushing
it's making it. Yeah. But this car was parked basically like right against the wall if that lane continued and essentially was blocking anyone from being able to get out into that lane that leaves the parking lot. Like they were parked in front of it with their hazards on.
You should draw a little like on paper so people
can
see.
Yeah, I'll draw a thing so people can understand. I'll actually, you know what? I'll send you for the sake of you understanding though. I'll send you a photo of where this car was parked. But I won't be able to show this to that's where it was parked.
That's horrible. Was this a delivery driver or something?
This was a person who was parked there with their hazards on. And you can see, you know how big that space is. And you can see that I can't get through there. That person is parked. They're nowhere to be found. They're not in their car. The hazards are on. And also, can I just say, I feel like too often people use their hazards as like a get out of free,
yeah,
like get out of jail free card. Like,
I do that.
Well, yeah, but like I think that like, when people put, some people think that when they put their hazards on, that's like them absolving themselves of responsibility. But in reality, it's just you're parking somewhere you shouldn't. And by putting your hazards on, you're just saying, yeah, I know. And there's nothing that you can do about it.
I always think it's kind of like, just give me a second, okay? Like, just give me, because
well,
I don't.
That's what, I mean, that's what I use it for, but that's like a fucking 5 minute timer at most, right?
Yeah, like I'm usually not getting out of the car. It's more like Emma hops out, runs into a store, and I'm kind of, I'm holding it down.
Yeah.
But I got the hazards on to let people know, I know this is fucked up, but it's my wife's in this store. Come on.
It's a shrug. It's the car sign language for like, sorry. I'm doing this right now and there's nothing you can do about it. But, you know, I got my hazards on, so I know that I was wrong. Like, what? Okay.
But your guy has the hazards on in like a closed off internal parking lot.
Yes.
It's not like outside of Starbucks.
Yeah. It's not like in New York City where putting your hazards on, that's a way of life. You know, the person with their hazards on in New York City, that's indefinite. But
they're
going to
tell you
LA,
that you're wrong.
In the city of angels, that shit doesn't fly, not in a private parking lot. So I'm like, I can't get out. I don't know who this is. And like, I look around for like 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, no one's here. I'm like getting a little nervous. I'm like, I got to pick this person up. And so I go to start knocking on my neighbors. I knock on my neighbors who I normally interact with. I'm like, you know this guy? They're like, no, but I got home and I saw that and I knew it was going to, and I was like, that's going to be a problem. And I was like, yeah. Like most of my interactions with my neighbors are us all relating on the flavor of the month of the person that has parked in the place that they shouldn't, and we all hate them.
Yeah, I used to live that life.
And
in
so I knock on, there's like six apartments total in this complex, including mine. And so knock on one, couldn't figure out. Knock on another, couldn't figure that out. Knock on a third, couldn't figure that out, but met some people. They're very nice.
Nothing brings an apartment complex together faster than parking drama.
I know.
That's how I met like half my building in Binghamton.
Well, I've never experienced it before because my old parking place, I had two parking spots. And so it was never an issue, really. And it was a real parking lot, too.
It was still tight, though. Those LA lots.
Yeah, it never was an issue, though. It always worked for me. So I go to all the apartments, but I go to all my neighbors, but I realized that my right direct next door neighbor, I hadn't knocked on their door. And so I knock on their door. I'm knocking. Listen, no response. But I'm hearing the dryer's going on. Okay. Someone's home. The dryer's going on. I'm like, okay, maybe they don't hear me. So I do like, you know, friendly neighbor knock. Okay, now it's like a UPS driver knock. Bop, 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 bop. A little bit harder with the knuckle. Nothing.
It sucks having to do the
knock. I'm like, okay, this is weird. I'm hearing movement going on upstairs. I'm like, these fuckers ignoring me? Do they? So I'm starting to get mad. I'm starting to be like, I'm starting to work things up in my head because I've already had three conversations with different neighbors about how selfish this parking thing is. I'm already doing I've built up the lore. I'm doing the thoughts on the conversation about what I'm going to say to this person beforehand.
Insufferable, selfish asshole. How could you do this?
Yeah, I'm like, I got this whole thing in my head where I'm like, this is the most selfish parking job I've ever seen in my life. And so I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I go inside for a second, but then I still hear the neighbors through the fucking wall. So I'm like, they're there. I go back outside. This time, the dryer's off now. But I'm not going to let that stop me. I upgrade from UPS knock. I'm doing SWAT knock now. SWAT knock on that thing.
SWAT.
Bum, 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 bum. I hear movement now. I hear intentional movement. I'm like, okay, here we go. They open up the door. I'm like, I've got the whole speech in my head. I'm like,
your car.
Hey, is this your car right here? And they're like, there's like two of them. There's two people and they're two guys. And they're like confused. And they're like, yeah, no. But and they seem confused. And I'm like, also, I've been knocking for like, because this started at 0 minutes and then 5 minutes went by. At this point that I got in contact with them, 50 minutes had gone by.
15 1 5 5 0. Oh, brother, how did it take you 50 minutes to get to this?
No, because I'm talking with the neighbors and stuff. I'm texting the management and stuff. Like, I had to wait, and it was...
All right, all right. The details don't matter.
Is this a car? Yeah, it is. But we're not parked there permanently. We're going to move.
And I'm like... And it's already been 50 minutes.
Yeah, and
since
I'm like...
you've been involved.
And I say, I start doing the speech. I'm like, well... Respectfully, this is probably the most selfish way you could have parked in this area. Nobody can get out while you're like that. And they're like, we're not parked there permanently. I'm like, okay, well, right now you are. And you also have 8 feet in front of you that you could pull forward and make it so people could get out. So, and they're like, well, are you leaving right now? And I'm like,
I was supposed to leave 50 minutes ago.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think it matters. And then I said, I look at him and I'm like, also, what was going on? I feel like I was knocking on your guys' door for like 20 minutes, like, and I was knocking pretty hard. What was going on? Why didn't you guys answer the door? And then they make a face at me, and then I'm like, what? And then I look at them, and they start gesturing towards their head. Both of them have hearing aids.
What the fuck?
And they both weren't wearing their hearing aids when I was knocking.
What the that is like a Curb Your Enthusiasm bit.
So I'm this fucking asshole.
You're not that, the asshole.
I'm not. Okay, you're right.
You're
not
the
asshole. So I'm this guy who I'm like, I'm knocking. I know they're there. I'm like, what the, these guys are fucking ignoring me. What the hell's going on? I'm knocking. They answer the door. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, you couldn't hear me? I was knocking a million times. They're like, we're fucking deaf. I'm like, shit.
So then you went inside. You never even left, I bet.
No, I did. I still gave them a hard time.
They're still the asshole.
But when they gestured to their hearing aids about when I was upset about the me knocking and them not answering, and they were like, we had hearing aids, we weren't wearing them. I looked at them and I said this. This is word for word. I was like, damn, I can't even be mad about that. That was that was what I said to him. And I was like, fuck, what are the fucking odds?
They're still assholes, though. Those are still bad people. They just can't hear.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it was a dubious parking situation for sure. But, yeah.
The craziest part of this whole story is that you were like on time walking out the door, and then it took you 50 minutes of small talk with all your neighbors.
You got to understand, it wasn't like small. I met them, they were checking in on the people I met and I got friendly with. I met them after and I chatted with them after the whole ordeal was over. It was like maybe 10, 15 minutes of like interacting with all the neighbors. Then some more time of me like looking at the area, trying to figure out if I could get through it. I backed up my car a little bit. I was like, no, I can't do it. I parked again. I'm knocking on my neighbor's door. I'm not hearing back. I'm contacting the management. I'm on the phone with someone. I get off the phone. I'm texting someone else. I get to the point where I'm like, I'm texting this maintenance guy over here. And I'm like, are we able to tow this person? Because like, that's pretty, like, I'd never gotten to the point where I wanted someone to get towed. But like at this point, I was like, dude,
I hit that point.
Like this is something that was deserved. And like, you know, sometimes people, you know, I try to be understanding. The knocking thing, I understand that. They weren't wearing their hearing aids.
That's understandable.
They literally couldn't
hear. That's understandable.
That's understandable. They weren't wearing their hearing aids and the dryer was going on right by the door.
If you're going to be double parked, blocking an entire community's access to the outside world, I don't think that, I don't think you should then be saying, I'm not going to wear my hearing aid today. I think it's like, I should probably keep an ear out open for the door.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they were.
Also, your buildings have a lot of windows that look into the lot and your truck's loud. Yeah. You're not hearing that thing. You're trying to get out. Like,
well, one of my neighbors, they suggested that I should just start beeping in my car.
That's great.
And I thought about it, but I was like, I wasn't feeling that disruptive yet. But if my SWAT knot didn't work,
yeah,
that was the next step. That was the next step for sure. But yeah, no, so that's my silly little situation.
You've had a nonstop drama in that parking lot.
So yeah, that's my parking situation story. And you know, there'll be more. There'll be more in the future, I'm sure. I'm sure. I've only been here for like 6 months and I've had like three.
I have a story for you. So I'm at a new gym now. We've moved to Massachusetts, so I had to find a new gym. It's like a community center. It kind of looks like an elementary school. It's got a big gymnasium. It's got a pool. It's got like a preschool attached, weight room. But the vibe is kind of like the elementary school that I went to. Anyway.
Right.
So I'm doing my weightlifting, you know, get my workout in. And lately I've been hitting the basketball court after the lift, shoot some hoops, run around, dribble a little bit, just, you know, whatever. And so I'm there one evening and it's just me in there, or so I thought. I'm playing basketball, shooting hoops, missing.
And just so
missing,
you know, Tucker's
missing.
Getting...
I'm terrible.
Tucker's getting ready. Tucker's getting ready to play basketball with us on someday.
Well, I figured in my theory for how it's going to go, and I'm basing this solely on NBA Streets Volume 2, is that if you're shorter, not that I'm short, but Ted and Hassan are massive. Write that down.
Yeah.
The short guys should be good at shooting because they're going to get fucked up near the net.
Your height right now, you're probably you'd be the shortest point guard in the NBA.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, yeah, because the point guards, the short ones that you see in the NBA, they're like six. They're my height.
Yeah, no, the NBA is massive. Even football is massive. Like you see a short guy in football, he's like 6 foot.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa. So that's why I'm trying to get really good at shooting, because I'm like, that's got to be my bread and butter if I want to be able to play.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Because my guy on NBA Streets, he's 5'11", and he drains threes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, he's good. He's good. And he's got, what is it, 4 out of 4? He's got 4 out of 4 points.
He's got the full stat.
Yeah.
It's somebody on the Celtics from like 2000. Anyway. So I'm shooting hoops and stuff, and then I something catches my eye, and it's dark in there. There's only one light on, so it's kind of like there's some shadowy corners. In the corner over there, there's an older guy, white guy, silver hair. Old.
Okay.
Let's say 70. Silver hair, black beanie. All black clothing, black shoes. He's blacked out, silver hair.
Hidden in shadows.
Over there in the shadows with a full katana doing katana-like warm-ups. He is practicing unironically by himself in a dark corner of the gymnasium his samurai tactics. I was amazed. I was like, how is this real?
Oh my God.
And I go, this isn't like LA or New York where there's freaks and weirdos in your gym all the time and all around you.
Yeah.
We're in a nice small town. There's some old people, some high school kids. That's it.
My God.
I mean, yeah. And so today I remember, I for some reason I didn't write it down. Today I'm there, I see him again.
Yeah.
Same spot, same moves. This is really? This guy's routine.
Yeah. So what you need to do.
Make contact.
You got to make contact with this guy. You need to make contact with this guy. And it's got to come from the angle of you wanting him to be your sensei.
Oh my God. That would be
you
something.
You need to show up to that guy and be like, you're the greatest swordsman I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, like, who's your sensei?
And then give him like a very genuine gaze, almost like a puppy dog eyes, and say, teach me.
It would
and
be.
And then he will.
Maybe, okay, next time I see him, I'll see if I can work
I
up the
I feel like you deserve
a
Karate Kid's story. I feel like you deserve that.
The thing is, if I got really good with a sword, I would want to kill somebody with it. Like, that's like why all the Marines are so pissed off, is because they're really good with all these weapons and there's nobody to kill.
I mean, it's one of those things where that's crazy. That's great. I'm glad that doesn't apply with guns for you because you're good with weapons.
Oh, no, I got over my rage. But when I was in uniform,
I'll tell you what
like,
really made your blood boil.
What?
When it came to shooting was that time that we were at the shooting range with Schlatt in Texas. And I had that M14 or whatever.
Had an M1 Grand.
I had the M1 Grand. Good with guns, guys. Remember. I had the M1 Grand, and I pinged all those metal things in one clip. I didn't miss a shot.
Yeah, you did great. That was a fun range.
Yeah, it balanced out the fact that I had accidentally misfired the MP40.
Oh, I forgot about that. I would have never remembered that. Ted broke the MP40 as a relic.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where
that I don't think they maintain their guns there.
I don't. Their range guns. Like nobody maintains range guns. You know, those things get gunked up and full of crap. And
yeah,
man, those things are at 20.
Take a lot of maintenance.
This was Project Zomboid. That'd be at 25% condition. You're getting jams every other second with that thing, huh?
Because they're 240 jammed on me, and I had.
Oh, and
the only time I had ever had a 240 jam is when we left it out in the rain, and then I immediately had to go into a live fire op, and it was like rusting on the spot. It was horrible.
Oh, okay.
But that's the only time I see a 240.
Well, that's funny with the 240 because you're probably the most familiar with the 240 out of
most people.
The majority of people who've interacted with that gun.
It's a great
gun. You could probably take that gun apart and put it back together again.
Oh, yeah. It's really easy.
Really?
Yeah, we do it. I've done it hundreds of times.
Yeah. That's a bummer that you'll never be able to see that gun again.
Well, I'm sure I will encounter it at some point.
At the intimacy level that you did.
I've got another thing, though. And so I drive a lot. We're always driving to Boston or New York or New Hampshire or Pennsylvania. We're on the highway a lot. And I don't always need Google Maps to get around. I'm pretty good. But I often...
music either.
I just drive silently a lot of the time.
I know. It was creepy. When I saw it for the first time, it was creepy. But then I recently, and I was going to tell you about this, and this is to your credit, I actually did a silent drive the other day.
Like,
and it was nice.
Drive?
It was nice in the sense because I was a little bit bored at first, but then I started kind of daydreaming a little bit.
Yeah, which, it's like daydream city.
Not like a boring daydream, though, or a dangerous daydream in which I'm not paying attention to the road, but like a good one where I was like, okay, I'm thinking of ideas now.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I tortured Emma's cousin once. I'm going to do a side note here. We were driving from Quebec to Boston. It's like an 8 to 10 hour drive. I drove the whole time, nonstop, and I didn't put any music on.
And
he's a musician. He's like early 30s, very into music. And it
Did
was
he say
like
anything?
He said something at once, but I was like, oh, my phone's dead, or like, oh, and we can't connect the Bluetooth while the car's moving. Because that is true. And it was
and we've had arguments about that too. You keep the Bluetooth connections close to your chest. And we had an argument about that one time. We were getting mad at each other, pretty mad.
Ted was pushing my buttons in my own car while I was driving. It was frustrating. Anyway, I was torturing.
But Tucker's solution in that scenario is to be like, oh, we'll just. And I realize that this works, but I just like to be able to connect to the thing. But
I said, just use my phone. Put on whatever you want.
Well, what we ended up, the solution that we ended up doing was I started a jam through Spotify on yours.
I've been doing that on Discord lately with Derek.
Yeah, and that works pretty well. That works pretty well.
The jams are
good.
But
if your phone was dead, then that means that, and you.
Yeah, no, I tortured him.
And you keep the connection so close to your chest, that means that he could do nothing about playing music.
Oh, yeah, no, he was in pain. He was in physical pain back there. And he's in the back seat,
Jeez.
Too. Yeah, and that's a long, boring drive.
Wait, are you chauffeuring him?
Well, Emma was in the front.
Oh, I thought it was just you and him.
No, it was the three of us.
Oh, okay.
That was a long drive. You'll be happy to know you are still on my Bluetooth connection. Your phone's still there.
Really?
Yeah, it's still there. But I see it every day.
I don't remember ever getting on there, but I'm glad to know that.
You threw a big enough fit.
You know, I feel I did. And I feel like I deserve to be on there. Out of anyone in your life, I feel like even though you seem the least, I feel like I deserve to be on there. I just feel
you were so still.
I had a little bit of a hiccup there. No, I feel like, yeah, I just feel like I deserve to be on there.
I want to finish my driving story because I was going somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of times I use Google Maps because it'll tell you where the cops are. You know, people mm-hmm. are just so I'll be like, I can drive 75, I can drive 80, and it'll tell me where the cops are so I can slow down. And it's really accurate. And I love dropping those pins. I feel like a vigilante. I'm like, boom, cop right there. Boom, I got it. Report a cop. I hit it.
Yeah. You're part of the resistance.
I am. I am part of the resistance. And now, this is awesome. I finish my drive. I go to dinner. We do whatever. I get a little notification that's like, you helped 167 drivers today avoid a speed trap. And I'm like, holy crap. Oh my God, I'm a hero. They'll tell you how many people saw your ping.
Wow. Dude, And so you probably, if you add that up all together in a total aggregate amount of money, what is that? You say 170 people?
Yeah, it was like in the
hundreds. That's got to be at least $1,700 you just saved the people of America.
Dude, more like 17, probably 10. I bet it's like $8,000.
$8,000? I was thinking like $100 per speeding ticket.
Oh, maybe. Oh, I haven't gotten a speeding ticket in a while.
Wait, $100?
It's definitely more than that these
days. No. You're right. You're right.
Massachusetts?
170 times 100. What is that? 17,000?
Yeah. Dude, I know.
Man, am I really that bad at mental math that I got to double check this? But yeah, that's 17. You saved the American people $17,000.
I know.
You're catching up with Elon.
Dude, I know. This is, I feel like I have access to a technology that's not supposed to be public.
Yeah.
And I'm using it for good. I'm helping people.
I'll tell you what. This sounds, what is happening right now seems like a gateway drug. Next time I see you, you're going to have a fucking full-ass police scanner on your dashboard, dude. It's going to be bad.
My dad did growing up.
He did?
Plugged into this cigarette lighter, and it would beep when it would detect police radar.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. Well, honestly, that's kind of cool, though.
No, it was cool. It was like this thing. He'd be like, he would pull it out of the glove box. I think I was still a backseat kid at this point. Suction it out of the window, plug it in the cigarette lighter. And it was like this old radio thing that would give you different beeps for like the radio signals that they were using.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Like a Geiger counter.
Yeah, it was. Dude, it was like that. And it would go off and he'd be like, you know, and then you'd see one and he'd be like, it always works.
That's awesome.
It was cool.
That was incredible.
I think some states like outlawed those, or like there was a lot of there's been a lot of back and forth on like,
what are they gonna fucking do?
How are you gonna know? What? It's a passive device.
How are you gonna know?
You get pulled over, you're popping that off the window as you're getting pulled over. You're not leaving that thing front and center.
Yeah, what are the police got? Like counter detectors? They got counter UAV.
No, I know it. So, but yeah, I feel like a vigilante these days, and I'm there. It's like now I'm like, oh, I've got to use maps. Like, yeah, I know where I'm going, but what if I see a cop?
It's funny. I think that you and I don't know who started it, but I think you and I sort of, we feedback looped a forever allegiance to Google Maps into each other.
Oh, your Google Maps allegiance?
Yeah, no, that's a thing. That's a thing. We
like
both
an Apple
use Google Maps.
Soy boy, the last, you know, you get the MacBook, you get the iPhone, you get the, you know, the Lightning cable. I just assumed you were an Apple Maps guy.
How did you? We went on a full ass
brother. That
road
was together. That was 10 years ago.
I know.
And since then, you've been on Apple for a long time.
I've always had an iPhone.
Yeah, I know. I just assumed you would have bent the knee at this point.
I'm surprised because like we would star all of our stuff, all of the places.
I still
we went
got
on
I
Apple
have the
Map.
Whole road trip starred on my.
Yeah,
I still
do that when I go to new places and
stuff.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. We're rekindling.
We were doing it in Kenya.
You're right.
What? Like, you're not paying attention to me. Are you not paying attention to me? I'm
I guess
offended.
With Google Maps, I'm not.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to my Google Maps behavior, and I feel like that's going to become a fracture in our friendship if you stop if you stop paying attention to my Google Maps behavior, we lose each other.
Have you ever gotten a speeding ticket?
I have. Yeah.
How many?
One. One ever in Texas, the time that I almost got.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got two.
And that was $250, and it was 2018 at the time. I was not making $250.
Oh, you were broke, man.
That was Yeah, I mean, I was in college, and $250 was like 2 weeks of work at the fucking checkout place at the film school. Like, I was like, damn, fuck, I'm gonna use my Christmas money on this.
Emma got a warning the other day, and it's kind of really? My fault. Yeah. Well, we
really.
So in Massachusetts, you're supposed to get your car inspected every year. There's a little mm-hmm. sticker on your window. A lot of states have a similar system. And we'd been living in New York, and usually I would get it done at Christmas when I'd come home and see the family. I'd just go out and get it inspected, whatever. And I hadn't done it since Christmas of 23. So we've been riding around with an old-ass sticker, and she was out with her sister the other day in town. She got pulled over. But he gave her a warning.
Damn.
I know.
Yeah, I just updated my registration for the truck in California because I was getting a... I did online. I was worried that it wasn't gonna...
Registration you can do online. He was like, I was like, oh, did he give you a hard time? Whatever. And she was like, well, he said that we did the registration in October, so we should have done this. And I'm like, okay, well, that you can do on the internet.
Was registered. It just didn't have the sticker.
No, it has. There's registration plus registration sticker. They're a pair. And then there's inspection. It's a Massachusetts specific thing. Like every state has a registration. Well,
yeah.
But you need to physically go to
a
garage.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be something like that in California. California is very similar to Massachusetts in like some of the rules it has.
Do you guys register every year? I think you do.
Yeah. Well, I got my California license plate for the first time in November.
Yeah. I had Cali plates.
And I've been living here for 4 years and I've just been going on the Massachusetts plate. And
your inspection sticker was probably way out of date.
Oh, yeah.
But out of state, they're not going to notice.
Honestly, I feel like I don't know. Well, because I've owned my truck for several years, like I've been paying for everything about the truck, but the title transfer hadn't happened until like last year.
Dude, Navy Fed lost my title. I don't have the title to my car, and I own it outright. And because when you buy it and you have a loan, they send the title. The dealer sends a title to your bank. But since then, I've changed.
They lost it?
Well, since then, I've changed addresses so many times. Like
you could get a new title, probably.
Yeah, I need to work on that. But I feel like our stories are getting boring. And
yeah,
I think it's time to hit the Patreon portion.
No, I was going to say the same thing. Let's talk about chores now after we just did all the exciting stuff. Thank you guys all so much for listening to this episode of Take It Easy. We're about to right now go and record an extra hour of the Take It Easy podcast for the Take It Easy bonus episode that is only available on the Take It Easy Patreon, which
$5.
Only $5 to get the bonus episodes. And if you want the extra shows, such as the Ted and Tucker Game Time, the Take It Easy behind the scenes of the photo shoot that we did for the branding that I just posted that today. The gaming episodes of Project
Every
Zomboid.
Friday.
By the time this episode comes out, we'll have two episodes out of Project Zomboid. And
the reality recap, Love is Blind. It's getting juicy. The proposals have all happened. The cuts have happened. People are gone. Some of my favorites. Madison, I'm going to miss you.
And very soon I will be accepting submissions to the Dr. Ted show, the monthly advice show that I'm going to be doing.
And we're getting a speak pipe up and running.
Yeah, we're getting a speak pipe up and running for the Patreon. We're going to have speak, but maybe we'll do once
every
in a blue
week.
Moon a...
Once
in a blue moon, we'll do a main channel speak pipe, maybe. But the most time that you're going to be able to send in voicemails to Take It Easy will be on the bonus episode. So there's our pitch. Be sure to check it out.
That's the pitch.
It's the best way to support the podcast. So check it out at patreon.com/Take It Easy. We hope to see you over there. and we hope you guys have a good day.
Bye, guys.